Amen. Praise God. It's always good to get a break, go see your family and so forth. I don't want Pastor Mike to feel guilty because he hasn't missed a service in probably over 2 years. So don't be guilty. No bondage. Amen. Praise God. I want to talk this morning to you as my brothers and sisters along the lines of dreaming small, because I believe that's something that just really set my heart as a biblical principle that's almost upside down what we're taught or look at. You know, Jesus says if you want to be first, you got to be what? Last. I believe a lot of times we're telling people to dream. You got to get this vision. You got to conquer these mountains. And people are looking at this mass thing. And after, it sounds good. In fact, I was running it by a millennial this week, and they said, well, that's the only thing I have problems with dreaming small, because, man, I'm going to conquer the world. And I think how many of us were going to conquer the world, and we're probably still conquering it, but the bigness was almost overwhelming to the place where the Lord says, you don't have to look at the full picture, just one day at a time, sweet Jesus. Amen? The Bible says, little by little, He gives us the land. Then He also says, wherever our foot shall tread, it's given to us. So it's not wrong to dream. It's not wrong to know that you'd like to accomplish this. You know, I'm sure by now I was believing for hundreds, if not thousands of people would want the message that we're bringing. But I thank God for you all that are here, that God led you here, hopefully empowering you where you work to be a blessing. So we learn that the principles of God, everything is based on seed time and harvest. Now, Pastor Mike was ministering the last couple weeks on the kingdom. I want to kind of continue in the kingdom around the lines of dreaming small. Going after that which you can accomplish, even if it's day to day. See how you can get there and not be discouraged or overwhelmed because you're not seeing the answer. You're believing you need a miracle. A miracle, maybe financial blessing, maybe a miracle of a healing. And sometimes the full picture is almost overwhelming. But get up every day and thank Jesus for today. I'm up and I'm going at it. Thank you, Lord, for another day. And then believe God for tomorrow. And then you might be surprised. You'll wake up and, my gosh, this is working that didn't work before. Or how about the seed time and harvest? Everybody always wants to get rich quick. Proverbs says, he who hastens to be rich will be made poor. It's seed time and harvest. I tell people the very principles of sowing in whatever we sow is what we reap. People want to get the millions, but they haven't sowed the tens and the 20s and the hundreds. And as I pray for this body, I pray for you that are already faithful to tithe. You're open to be blessed big time because you've been planting seeds. That seed is taking root. Now, you may not see the millions right away, but whatever God needs to establish His covenant, it can come little by little because you are significant. And He's encouraging us. And sometimes those that we think are blessed because of all they have are not blessed because of what they don't have. And what they don't have is the kingdom within. Amen? So I want to talk about a little bit. We know Matthew 6:33 says, number one, we're supposed to seek ye what first? The kingdom. And as we go after His kingdom and what we're learning, the kingdom is a way of life. It's like how we're supposed to be living because of what the Lord did for us and to us. Now, when Jesus came from in the Gospels, in the transitional scriptures to take us into the new covenant, He says, now, I'm here to establish the kingdom. And He says in, I think it's Luke 17, He says there's going to be many that are going to say it's over here, it's over there. But He goes on to tell His early disciples, and we're just the latter disciples, He says the kingdom is not coming with great observation, but the kingdom is coming, and the kingdom comes and is within us. And we know in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become new creations. At that new creation that we become, we receive the power, we receive the God called the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost does not leave the kingdom at home and then come and inhabit us. He brings the kingdom with Him because He's God. Yes. And that's why we don't touch one another. That's why we are quick to forgive, because we realize that the body of Christ are filled with God, called the Holy Ghost, called the kingdom within. And so as we look at this and study this, I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles this morning as we look at dreaming small, acquiring the kingdom in operation in our lives. Now, my whole purpose in all the years that I've been a pastor is try to get people to grab a hold of this and get stronger and more powerful and make a difference in their regions. Because I'm not in your region. We may be in the church building now, but I don't go to your neighborhood. I don't go to where you work, but you do. And if you do, the Holy Ghost does. And if the Holy Ghost does, the kingdom does. But the kingdom does not operate if, in fact, we don't do our part to release it. So we do have something to say, and we do have something we have to do if we want to live in the kingdom of heaven that Jesus taught us to pray, that the kingdom would come, the will would be done right here as it's already going on in heaven. It is to be happening now. But we have a role to find out. So those that have your Bibles or your phone Bibles, I want you to turn to the second book, or 2 Peter chapter 1. And we know Peter, a good example, one of the apostles, one of the disciples, one of the first believers. And I want us to look at a few verses here, and I'm going to expound upon them. I'm going to start out right at the beginning. Peter, a servant, apostle of Jesus Christ, to those of you who have obtained this precious faith with us by receiving Jesus, you have been made righteous by our Father or Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm addressing you as believers today as we sit here. You have obtained precious faith through Jesus Christ. Verse 2 says this, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge or the knowing of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice, everybody look at me a second before I read on. When you make Jesus Christ Lord of your life, you get the Holy Ghost. You get the kingdom. You get all things that pertain to life and godliness. But it's through knowing what you already have. You don't operate in things you don't know are yours. So what we do as believers, we try to encourage you to realize what you already have so that you can release those nuggets or seeds of the kingdom so that you can get more kingdom operating. The grace is all given to you, but he's praying that it be multiplied so that you take the principle. And let me use the principle that Pastor Mike used in the kingdom. It'd be he broke it down into knowing, understanding, and wisdom. Okay, so we get in here, or you could say understanding. So let's say we understand that principle. We know it. But if we don't activate that principle that we know, we can't get the crop or the harvest of that thing that's already ours. He used the illustration, it'd be like a doctor. A doctor knows the ins and outs of the damages of smoking. Okay? Not only do they know it, they understand it. They know the carcinogens that are released every time somebody puffs a cigarette. The Lord doesn't come to condemn us, but he does come for us to get the knowledge and the understanding. And then the wisdom is we implement what we know to do that's going to make sure we get the right result. A doctor that smokes, as Pastor Mike uses as an example, is somebody that knows, that understands, and still knows this is a destructive behavior to his body. Does the Lord love him any less? No. Does that principle of God preserving that body going to stay intact if we're not implementing principles of the seed time and harvest? Yes, no, we reap what we sow. Good word. I found this a long time ago. I was telling my wife and somebody else I was talking to this week. When I was in ninth grade, now my mom and dad didn't drink and smoke, and so it wasn't being lived out around me. And people said, well, that's why you didn't grab a hold of these little seeds. I said, no. For some reason, when I was in ninth grade, they showed a movie in my phys ed class called Somebody That Smoked and Got Cancer, and they showed us the surgery of them cutting out this black, ugly-looking lung. I couldn't hardly stand watching. They showed the whole thing. I got up and And I was embarrassed because I ran to the bathroom and threw up. I mean, it made me sick watching this surgery. From that moment on, man, I'm not going to do that because I don't want that. It was reinforced when I was in college when they gave us these little stirrers that people use sometimes to stir their things up. And they says, now, somebody that has emphysema, they says, this is how they breathe. They says, put this little stir in your mouth. Okay, now plug your nose. That's all the oxygen you can get. I thought, oh my gosh, that's enough. And then when I was studying to get my driver's license, they showed us the abuse of what happens when people drink and drive. And so they showed these, they showed car crashes when I was, they showed kids being mauled. That was another time I could hardly watch these accidents. They were trying to let us know that sometimes you may not have to have much, but if you drink and drive, this could happen to you. I thought, I don't want to do that. So I thought as I implemented that into the kingdom of God, little by little, what I found, not everybody, it's that easy for them. They can see things. They can understand things. But sometimes the wisdom of not planting those seeds, it's harder.
That's good, Pastor.
So where I was in error, I kept saying, it's easy. Just don't do that. Don't plant that seed. Don't do that because it's not going to be a healthy harvest. But I wasn't getting a lot of results. We can know this inside out. And I'm here to tell you that this is, God is no respecter of persons. This is for all of us. But the fruit of this is only to those that know it, understand it, and then apply it to their daily lives. If you choose not to give, you're not going to get. Oh, you'll get enough to get by, but you're not going to get what God wants to. If you don't sow forgiveness, you're not going to be feeling forgiven, even though the Lord's forgiven you. The Lord's not doing this to us. The thing is, then we blame God. Oh, why my bills aren't being paid. Oh, my gosh, I got this situation, that situation. I'm always astounded. You tell people different issues. We'll say, if you do this too much, you could get this. Yeah, I know that. And they keep doing that. And then they wonder why they got that condition. God doesn't put conditions on people to teach us something. We put conditions in our life that cause these things to happen to us. Nobody's in jail today because the Lord put you in jail. They're in jail because they chose not good steps and seeds to plant or wherever their lives are messed up. In relationships, if you're looking for this big, beautiful, glorious relationship, it's out there, but you got to dream small and start little by little, looking for the good in your spouse, planting the good seeds, building one another up. And as it goes, it develops and it becomes healthy. But it doesn't just zap. Cinderella and Prince Charming go off in the sunset. That's the ultimate. We want it to happen, but if we go after that, we miss out on all these little healthy seeds that can be planted today. Because seed time and harvest is the principles of the kingdom.
Amen.
So, back to 2 Peter. Verse 3, His divine power gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness through knowing Him who called us by glory and virtue. So it's all ours, but we got to know it's ours if we're going to get it. Because knowing is step one, understanding is two, and then applying what we know. Why do we have to wait until our bodies are going through all kinds of things before we change our lifestyle? Why do we let the enemy, like I ministered a few weeks ago, why do we hang on to little destructive behaviors and then begin to implement little by little if we know it's going to end up being destructive? Why do we hang on to them? I want to take, you know, in the natural, I want to take people and go, pop, 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 pop. Wake up. That's not good for you. That's not healthy for you. And I'm wanting you to be healthy. Verse 4 says, by which you have been given exceedingly great and precious promises, that by or through these you will be partakers of His divine nature. Now listen, and you escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. Now again, before I continue, look at me, church. Just because you get saved The only way you're going to escape the corruption is you've got to implement the kingdom principles or the kingdom seeds. Because if not, you get the results of the other areas that we're planting in. It's very clear into the body of Christ that we have obtained everything that pertains to life and godliness. We need to now know that, understand that, and begin to plant that. Plant love, plant forgiveness, plant mercy, plant grace. I tell people all the time, I'm sowing grace and mercy as much as I can because I want it. Amen. I know I got all things that pertain through the cross, but I know to get it in my life now, kingdom of heaven has come now, I've got to implement those seeds now. And it goes on, it says this, verse 5. And also for this very reason, give all diligence, add to your faith, Virtue, knowledge. Knowledge, self-control. Self-control, perseverance. Perseverance, godliness. Now notice, all these things we're supposed to be adding as a believer. I thought we got everything. Listen, church, we get everything, but to receive it as its manifestation, we've got to plant what's already ours. The kingdom of heaven is seed time and harvest. What we plant is what we reap. If we want more self-control, we've got to plant in that area. We got to know, understand, and then activate it. Amen. It's not hocus pocus. Yes, I'm a believer. We don't ever have any issues anymore. We live in bliss. That's great sounding. But the reality, we have a role in this kingdom. Yes, sir. And the role is to take what we know is true and plant that in our lives and in the lives of others so that we can get this harvest back. Good. Okay, verse 8. For these things are yours and abound, and you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowing of your Lord Jesus Christ. If we take these principles that are all ours and plant them, we will not be barren. Okay, look at me again. If we're believers, how are we always ending up with areas of our life that were barren? If it's, we got everything that pertained to life and godliness, it's because we're not implementing what's already ours. I can want love in my wife's and my relationship, but if I don't plant seeds of encouragement and we have to encourage one another. And even as we came in today, she's telling me how much she loves me. She's singing a song unto me. You have to do it day after day. Dream small. Do the small things, the things you can do today. Forgive your family members. Forgive your loved ones. Forgive that person that always causes you to lose it and to blow up and to cause you to wonder, how could that happen? I'm a Christian. It happens because the seeds that we sow have to change so we get a different harvest than what we've been getting. It's called life changing. Good. And you're going to see why I'm at you all the time with this. My wife says, are you going to tell us what we got to do again? I can't get away from helping encourage us on what we got to do if we're going to get different fruit out of people's lives. Verse 9, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted. They're even blind. They've forgotten who cleansed them from all their sins. Okay, students, who cleansed us from all our sins? Jesus. All of them are cleansed. Now look at me. If they're all cleansed, why do we want to hang on to some and start implementing seeds of destruction again? Knowing that we'll reap that in our lives. Because we're not perfect, you'll say. Well, in Christ we are. I'm tapping into the real you. They got born again. The flesh and the body have to follow the real you. And we're feeding that real you. It's called your spirit man. And as he gets stronger than your flesh, you're not going to feel like you got to hang on to some of this junk. Verse 10. Amen. Therefore, believers, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, notice, we still got to be doers, folks. If you do these things, you will never what? Stumble. Do you see a lot of Christians stumbling? I mean, Pastor Mike and I go through it, and sometimes we try not to ever step on anybody's toes, but sometimes you do step on people's toes, and it's not intentionally. You're not trying to offend anybody, but sometimes you do, and then what happens? You don't see them anymore. Instead of just saying, I love my pastors, or I love that they're here to build me up, I'm going to forgive if I think they're stepping on my toes. Instead, we harbor it. We harbor those destructive seeds of unforgiveness, and it stirs and it nurtures. And next thing you know, you got this harvest of all you can think of is saying junk about somebody that you really love. You wonder why husbands and wives split. The ones you love the most are the ones you can hate the easiest, because love and hate are so close. So I'm encouraging to plant seeds of forgiveness and love and impartation. And so it says, here's Peter. For this reason, let me jump back to 11. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into everlasting kingdom life through the Lord Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not neglect to remind you always of these things. Everybody look at me and say, Pastor, thank you that you will ever remind us of these things. Because these things can destroy us, or they can make us even stronger, and we can get out of our situations. So Pastor Weldon is going to continuously remind you that we need some lifestyle changes, and we need to quit hanging on to some destructive behaviors, because we want you to excel and be all God has created you to be. And nothing is going to suck you back into this world because you're severing the ties with those things. Not because I'm telling you, I'm just reminding you. Because I'm smart enough to know there's nobody in here I can change but the one that speaks. I can change me. But you can change you. So, for this reason, I'm going to continue to remind you always of these things. The things. You got everything that pertains to life and godliness. And the more you know, if you implement it, you can have kingdom life. But I'm going to remind you, if you don't, it's not going to be good with you. And I don't like to see you suffer. Verse 13 says, yes, I think it's right. As long as I'm with you, I'm going to stir you up and rekindle you. As long as I'm with you, as long as you don't get offended and run off, I'm going to continuously encourage you. You can do all things through Christ. You're more than a conqueror. You're mighty men and women of valor. You're an unbeatable team for Christ. You're the best parents that anybody could have because you love God. I'm going to continuously remind you. You've been forgiven. He forgave everything. Now implement all the things that pertain to life and godliness. And get some breakthroughs. I like how he finishes in my little section before a new category. It says in verse 15, moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things, even as I graduate and go home to be with the Lord. I'm telling you what, there isn't anybody I know that's closer to my heart than Pastor Mike. And if I should graduate and go home, I hope he will continuously remind you. You can do all things. Come on. Lifestyle change is not a dirty thing. It's an exciting thing. And it can make your life more enhanced. Come on. You can do it. And hopefully you're reproducing others that will carry that mantle on so that when we graduate and go on to be with the Lord, it still is going to remind you. Bad seeds produce bad fruit. Good seeds produce kingdom fruit. We want you reminded. Plant kingdom fruit. Get the nonsense out of your closets, out of your mind, and begin to walk up and say, I will do all things through Christ. I will be an example for others. I know my time here is limited, but I thank God while I'm here. When you look at me, see Jesus. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Jesus. He didn't say to imitate him in every way, just as he imitates Jesus. And that's our market. So, whether it's me or somebody else, it's to encourage you. Encourage you. Let me just share something that's almost rare these days. Some of you know John Scotland. We've had him in here a few times. He hit a lot of us at Toronto. He got into laughing and getting drunk in the Holy Ghost and a lot of things. But he sent us something over the email. And it was a prayer that was given at the opening session of Kansas Senate. He's a minister in a local church. My wife had the honor a few years ago. They asked her to go down to the Michigan Senate. Actually, it started in the House. She did the prayer for the House, which is a lot more representatives. A few years later, they liked her prayer. They asked her to come down and address the Senate. So she prayed for the Michigan Senate, not the U.S., the Michigan, down in Lansing. Kind of neat. The chambers and the House, a lot more seats. On the Senate, fewer seats. But they both got a prayer from the mighty woman of God. This was the prayer that was released. I thought it would be encouraging to realize, little by little, we have lost the land. How about us going back and acquiring it? This is what was said. Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask your forgiveness, to seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says, woe to those who will call evil good. But that is exactly what we've been doing. We've been allowing. We've lost our spiritual equilibrium, and we have reversed our values. We have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word, and we called it pluralism. We have worshipped other gods, and we called it multiculturalism. We have endorsed perversion, and we call it alternative lifestyles. We have exploited the poor, and we call it a lottery. We've rewarded laziness, and we call it welfare. We've killed our unborn, and we call it choice. We've shot abortionists, and we call it justifiable. We've neglected to discipline our children, and we call it building self-esteem. We've abused power, and we've called it politics. We've embezzled public funds, and we called it essential expenses. We've institutionalized bribery, and we call it suites of office. We have coveted our neighbor's possession, and we call it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography, and we called it freedom of expression. We've ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers, and we called it enlightenment. Oh, Father God, search us and know our hearts today and help us cleanse ourselves from this sin and these things. Amen. And he walked, and what I heard, you could have heard a pin drop. Within the next few weeks, as was recorded on his church email, he got 5,000 responses. 4,950 some of them were totally positive. They said, wow, we have. I'm telling you, the church, it's time we wake up and we take back what's ours. It doesn't mean that we hate anybody. We love people, but we do not cower from the truth of the kingdom of heaven, that the kingdom principles produce kingdom results. So we have to take a stand. We don't come against people. We come against the powers and principalities of darkness. And we stand up for what's right because we know that the Lord has given us that mandate in our lives to make a difference. Amen? Amen? Little by little, he has given us the land. Little by little. I want to close this morning in this segment of where I'm going this next couple weeks. Somebody gave me the charisma this last week, the August charisma. And in there was an article with Joyce Myers. And I always find it interesting that wherever the Holy Ghost has us, he has people all across the land. It isn't a shield of faith thing. It's a God thing. When we're ministering and we're emphasis in grace, it's not a shield of faith thing. God is trying to free religiosity off the church. Amen? Same way with One Faith came. And now the kingdom, and you're seeing people. And this is what she had to say. Growth does not happen all at once, but it should be happening. And that got my attention right away. And she goes on and says, it tells us in 2 Corinthians 3:18 that we're being transformed into his image 1 degree at a time. Now look it up. It's in the Amplified Version, and it does say that. God changes us in degrees. He takes us from glory to glory throughout our lives. He continues to deal with us and help us grow progressively, little by little. God changes us in degrees, and he calls it glory to glory. When God deals with us, he causes us to notice things in our behavior that need to change. Amen? Things we didn't even realize were wrong before. He doesn't reveal all our faults and weaknesses at one time because it would overwhelm us. God knows exactly how much we can handle and when we're ready to receive it. And then she goes on and says, it's virtually important to remember that when God deals with us, convicting us of something that needs to change, we can't do it on our own. It only is through God's strength that we really can change. And I'm thinking, it's the same thing, whether it's a degree at a time, we're dreaming small. I can do that. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me today. I can get through this day and all the challenges. We got some people in here going through surgery. I'm believing for a miracle, but if it doesn't come, I'm believing that doctor's hands are going to guide them through it. I'm believing that the rehab's going to go quicker than normal. I'm going to believe that their mobility is back up. I'm going to believe when people call in and say suicide is on someone's mind, I'm going to believe that they're going to be encouraged and refreshed for that day, to get through that day, and then the next day, give them some more encouragement, and a Christian will get around and grab them by the hand. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. And little by little, we acquire what God has promised that we can have, and it's the land. But the land comes little by little. So my challenge as we leave today, don't take for granted the little good steps that you're planting in your lives. I challenge you. Determine today, I'm going to smile at someone I don't know. It's a given. I'm going to smile to my family. I'm going to look to say something nice to my kids and to my spouse. I'm going to have time of prayer today. You know, people get overwhelmed. Oh, man, prayer and fast all night. And most people, no way, I can't do that. But you can pray. I'm going to pray over the meal. Maybe you've never prayed over the meal. I'm going to pray over the meal. That's going to be my big thing. Someone might think that's nothing. It is to somebody that doesn't do that. Amen. I'm going to read a devotional in the morning. I'm going to work out. I'm going to do something that's good for my heart today. Don't look at the full picture where you're down and you're this perfect specimen or whatever you want to be. I'm going to get up and I'm going to do something that's going to be good for my body today. Lord, you said that I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. So I'm going to get up and do something for my heart. I'm going to do something cardiovascular. You know what? I don't have to sprint. I don't have to run a marathon. I'm going to walk around the block because I haven't done anything to get my heart strengthened. I'm going to do a few barbells because I hear that bone mass we lose as we get older. And I don't want to lose the density of my bones. I don't want osteoporosis. So I'm going to do some weights. I'm not going to be a weightlifter. I'm telling you, dream small. I'm going to do something that's going to use the muscles in my arms and my legs. And as you look at this and you accomplish that, you feel good about yourself. You encourage yourself. And the thing is, it's like encouraging yourself in the Lord. I can do this. And the next thing you know, because we set this goal, and my wife will tell you, I hate when people go on diets because they set themselves up for failure. Diets don't work, but way of lives do. Whatever you implement, make it a way of life. I know what works for my wife. She can beat herself up, but you can go on and she has tried just about everything because everybody wants to look good, right? Dream small. Today I'm going to get up and I'm going to do this. Doesn't have to be overwhelming.
Amen.
We're not looking for bodybuilders. We're looking for healthy men and women of God.
Good.
I'm not going to get angry. If anger is something you have a hard time today, I'm not going to get angry at anybody.
Amen.
I'm going to hear but overhear. I'm not going to respond to that person that always gets me upset. That's a task for some. You know what? Today, Lord, I'm not going to let anybody set my triggers off. And you watch. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have many opportunities. Just you make an ass dance, there's going to be probably, you're going to deal with more, and you're going to have to grit your teeth. But you know, at the end of the day, when you didn't trigger yourself, you're going to feel good. Then when you get up, you're going to dream small. Today, I'm not going to again. Next thing you know, you'll forget you're not even letting anybody trigger you off anymore. Because little by little, you've accomplished that task. And the Lord has given you the grace between you and Him. You can do all things. That's what we're imparting to that next generation. Amen? Amen. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this time that you've drawn us in as men and women of faith. We thank you that we can do all things through you that strengthens us. Lord, I pray that today, if this body takes nothing else out of this, but they take out of today, that they do not have to be overwhelmed by accomplishing the whole task, but they will see little by little the very areas that rob their refreshing, rob their health, rob their joy, that you will give them little by little that they will accomplish this. And I'm prophesying, Father God, that this body is going to have lifestyle changes of prayer and reading your word and growing in you, that they're going to continuously be unbeatable. And Father, I pray for everyone that's listening on Facebook, the same release upon them that they will dream small and they will believe for today and they'll get back up tomorrow and they will dream. And whatever they're not doing, they'll begin to implement little by little. And we give you the praise and the glory. And all of us in agreement said, amen. Let's stand to our feet, church. We're going to go out on the mission field now. And whatever you've declared that you've got to do and you've got to change, it'll be worth it to you. You'll feel better about yourself. Whether it's relationship or not, greet our visitors. Let them know you appreciate they're here. God bless you.